Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Good morning, everyone. This is AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly radio spot. As usual, our home port crew is here, Beth McHugh, who is does our marketing and graphics, and Steve Cromer, who does our technical information. If anybody has a problem with the webpage, you can get in touch with Beth or Steve. For those people who aren't familiar with the Great Loop, there is an eastern United States and Canada, actually North America, route around the eastern part of North America that goes through the waterways of Canada, the river system, and our intracoastal waterways. If you have any questions about the Great Loop, you can contact me. Go to the webpage at www.greatloop.org. and click on Contact, and I am Janice Cromer. Our guests this week are Captain Sterling and Judy Kennedy, who are expert cruisers and have also helped us out with the blog radio co-hosting. I think this is the fourth time, Captain Sterling, or the third time?
Four times.
He's great. He's one of our most popular co-hosts. Today we'll be talking about Key Largo to Marathon, the Inside Passage. If anyone has any questions or any comments that they'd like to provide input, you can dial us at any time. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Okay, Sterling and Judy, are you ready to get started?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Well, why don't you tell us just what is the Inside Passage?
Okay, well, there's actually two choices you can make when you're traveling up and down the Keys to get in both directions. One is the outside channel, which is ocean side to the Keys, called Hawk Channel, technically Hawk Channel. Or there's the inside route, the intercoastal route, that will take you inside of the more protected waters, all the way from Card Sound down to Key West, Florida.
And is the Bayside inside route really as shallow as people seem to think?
Well, it's kind of an illusion traveling on the Bayside, because when you get down here, the waters are very clear, usually, and you can see the bottom. And as you know, water magnifies things. So if you're in 5 foot of water, it looks like you're in 2 foot of water. So it's and yes, and to answer that directly, yes, it is shallower. Its average depth is supposed to be kept to 8 feet. And it pretty much does that most of the way down. I always recommend to people traveling on the inside route that if you got 5 foot of draft, you can do it. If you got more than five, go outside. But it's a great route. It's one of the neat things about it to me is you can take this route on almost any kind of weather because it is protected from the shallow waters and from the islands around. So it's usually pretty doable in most conditions you wouldn't go on the ocean in. What we're going to do today is start everybody from Marathon, and the reason for that is obvious. Most of our loopers right now are probably in Marathon down there in Key Marina. That's a very popular spot. So we're going to start from there and bring us on a route inside up to Key Largo, Florida. A couple of words about Blue Key. It's a very popular place for a very good reason. There's a great cruising community there. Mooring balls are relatively inexpensive, and there's a lot of marinas and there's a lot of facilities available. So it's a real popular place for our cruisers to stay for the winter months. Now, we do recommend when you come down here that you do it in less than 5 foot draft. When you're navigating here, you use a lot of use your charts exclusively, and also use your eyes a lot. We recommend polarized glasses for everybody. That helps you see through the water. But also, it's a great way to perceive a shallower. You can see them usually fairly clearly by the water clarity. It's shallower, it's protected. It can negotiate in most windy weather, and it's much nicer than the ocean. I highly recommend coming this way when traversing the Keys.
Fantastic. I guess my question would be, just because I'm a novice to this, when you are being able to see inside the water and it's so clear, what kind of fish are there? What do you see besides just water?
Well, we usually catch a pod or two of dolphins traveling through the Keys. So they're pretty common.
Do you? That's beautiful.
As you may know, they love to play in your bow wave, and they do that because for them it's like surfing. They're riding that wave just like a surfer, and if you look at them closely when they're on your bow, they're not even flipping their tail. They're just playing and rolling in your wake. So it's a great experience being up there on the bow of a fountain dolphin.
I think probably most of our loopers have had that experience, but if they haven't, it's one of the highlights of everyone's trip is to have the dolphins travel with you. What about a dinghy? Will I really need a dinghy when I'm in the Keys?
Well, if you don't have one, you're going to miss an awful lot of good dinking around or exploring that we do in dinghies. And you're going to miss some places you can only get to by dinghy. So I highly recommend a dinghy of any kind. You don't need a really fast one, but you need one that will take you and your partner and possibly your dog and some groceries back and forth. So you definitely will need a DDS, yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. You had mentioned Boot Key quickly. What is the attraction of that?
Well, Boot Key has a great cruising community. They have a thing, they have, I think, about 300 mooring balls down there, besides the obvious attraction of price, which is, as you know, the Keys can be kind of pricey compared to other places. You can stay there relatively inexpensively. I think it's $275 a month for a mooring ball, something like that. The community has what they call a cruising net on the radio every morning. I forget the time, roughly about 8:30, 9 o'clock. They get on the VHF radio and they make announcements for people that are looking for items for their boat, that have items they want to get rid of, people that want buddy boats, anything of a cruising nature. It's put out on the VHF radio for the community daily. Boot Key City Marina itself has all the facilities that you need as a cruiser. They have laundry, they have meeting rooms, they have Wi-Fi, they have work areas, parking for your boat, parking for your car, parking for your dinghy. It's great. It's one of our favorite weekend trips is to run down for a three-day weekend from Key Largo down to Boot Key Marina. It's a great, great cruise. It's really nice.
I may be totally wrong, Sterling, but you can travel pretty quickly, can't you?
No, not unless you consider 6.5 miles an hour quick.
Oh, my goodness, I was wrong about that. For some reason, I thought you could get up there.
No. My last trawler would do 10 miles an hour if I pushed it. But
really pushed it.
This one, I can't afford to push it, so I'll go really slow.
Now, what about bridges? Is there any problem with clearance of bridges when you're in that area?
Unless you're going to make a cut through the island, you're perfectly fine both in Hawks Channel and the inside route. There's no bridges whatsoever until you get to Card Sound Bridge, which is now 65 foot, so we should have no problem with bridges at all. The channel's going through the islands, however, the different cuts, you do want to watch the bridges in there. Some of them are not navigable for a trawler. You do want to check your clearances there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, besides Boot Key Marina, are there other places to stay in Marathon? What would you recommend?
Now, one of my favorites down there would be Blackfin Marina, which is an old hotel with about 12 docks in the back. And it's about, what was the price on that one? I'm trying to remember now. $350 a foot. And there's also, next door to that is a place called Banana Bay, both on the bay side. About mile marker 192.5 on the ICW. And they both have a lot of great facilities, laundry, showers, water, little cruising community, good docks, and protected.
And do you think $250 a foot is the going rate down in Marathon? I know in the winter it can get pricey.
No, I think you could spend as much on a transient rate. I've seen prices as high as $5 a foot.
Really?
Yeah. I think the going rate right now is probably $350 a foot, and I'm guessing that without knowing offhand. I haven't checked lately, but that's what it's going for up here in the Keys, in Key Largo.
Wow. What about mooring balls or anchorages?
We don't have a whole lot of mooring balls. We have, of course, Boutique Marina. As you travel north, when you get up around Shell Key in Alvarado, there's about four balls there. And here in Key Largo on the ocean side, in Largo Sound, there's about 10 balls in there that you can moor up to. But there are lots and lots of places to anchor. So if you're into anchoring, that's the best part.
Is there any particular place you would recommend?
In Marathon, the only real option for anchoring in Marathon itself that I am aware of that's protected would be Bootkey, which you can anchor in spots in there. As you travel north, there are several places along the way that, again, they are protected except for a northern wind. A northern wind, which will tend to get a little bouncy in there. But there are a few spots you can slide into. As an example, when you get up into Tarpon Basin, which is a small basin in the upper Keys here, which is a day's shot from Marathon, there are several good anchors in there that are really protected from higher winds.
What about Lorelei Murata Bay? Is that something special?
That's one of my favorite places. And that's one of Judy's, too. It's a basin there that you can anchor off. It's great holding. It's close to Lorelei Marina, which is a great little tiki bar. Walkable to grocery stores. It's got the Worldwide Sportsman there. We like it there because we like to get in a dinghy and go exploring. There's actually mangrove tunnels you could go into. There's Worldwide Sportsman alone is worth going into. They have a huge aquarium. They have a copy of Hemingway's boat sitting there, a replica of his boat. And again, a couple of bars, as there are everywhere. And great, right next door is some great eating at the fishery place. It's a really neat place to stop. I think it's one of my highly recommended places.
Fantastic. This is kind of a strange question, but I've heard of a place in Isla Morada called the Toilet Seat.
Yeah. Yes, that's a really unique, cheesy kind of place. It's up around mile marker 1153 on the bay side. You can actually anchor in the basin there, up there by Toilet Seat in the cow pens, and get in your dinghy. And it's actually marked, the Toilet Seat is marked on Active Captain. What it is a channel that cuts through the flat there, made by boaters years ago, that is lined with toilet seats that are all painted and decorated with all kinds of really unique signs and colors. Bring your camera. It's a really neat little pleasure to do. We go through it every couple of years just to keep up on what the toilet seat's here. And it's a, kind of a badge of honor when you hang your own toilet seat in there. So there's quite a few of them in there.
Where did that all get started?
It was originally a cut in there, just a regular cut, which we have a lot of those across the flats here. And somebody, just as a joke, hung a toilet seat. And somebody else decorated her toilet seat. And next thing you know, the whole thing's lined. There's even a couple of pirate statues in there and just all kinds of homemade artifacts. It's
it must be amazing to see. That's fantastic.
It's a neat little spot. Now, there are places, the thing about the Keys is it is shallow, and there are places that you're crossing flats, but all these flats are well-marked, and you shouldn't have any problem going across these flats because you can, besides well-marked, you can see them.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can see the brown, the saying down here is brown, brown, run aground, green, green, sailing, true, blue, blue, sailing, true, rather. Green, green, sailing, clean, and that's what we use for here as eyesight a lot, but don't be afraid to go to this backside because it looks shallow and because of the cuts and it's through the flats. It's really a fun place to cruise. Very scenic and very easy to do.
It's not confusing at all with the markers?
There's a couple places, for example, up by Tavernier Creek, which is mile marker 1151 and a half, where Tavernier Creek markers cross the intercoastal waterway markers. People can going northbound, head into Tavernier Creek area marker. And that'll run them aground. So you got to make sure you look for that yellow triangle or yellow or on the markers or the green square on the markers to show you're in the intercoastal, not in Tavernier Creek Marina.
We actually have a few places in the Charleston area where that critical yellow triangle or square coming into Elliott's Cut, it can get very confusing. Anything else about...
Oh, yeah, I've been to there.
any of the marinas down there? What about Regent Key, My Marco 146.5?
I'm sorry, what about what? Pigeon Key? Oh, Pigeon Key. Oh, that's a very unique spot also. Pigeon Key is a bird sanctuary there. That's a little island there. It roots around the edge of the Everglades. And if you're there, anchored at sunset, all the birds start coming in. It's a great place to sit there and watch the sunset and watch the wildlife.
Fantastic.
Right at the ICW.
That sounds wonderful. Tell us something about Tarpon Basin.
Well, that's our home base area, actually, Tarpon Basin. That's where we live. It's a real popular stop for a lot of boaters. It's a lot of places you don't have access to shore here. You do in Tarpon Basin now. We have a government center that's allowing people to dinghy dock in.
Ah.
It's walkable to Publix and a grocery store and West Marine, which is a little over a mile. It's got some of the best mangrove tunnel areas you've ever seen. Just if anyone's out there wanting to explore these tunnels, go in behind Marker 48 there. You'll see the one Marker 48 right on the ICW. You'll see a hole in the mangroves. Take your dinghy in there and start exploring. You can't get lost because they all come out, but they go for several miles, and you're actually ducking under these tunnels. It's been featured in Geographic and a lot of other magazines. Very, very popular spot.
Uh-huh.
The walk the dog. It's the best part about Tarpon Basin. This is where I live, so if I'm home and I'm not cruising, give me a call, email me. We'll pick you up and take you to the grocery store, West Marine, and give you local information.
Are you in Judy Harbor House down there, or just offering your services?
Yes, we are. Yes, sure.
Fantastic.
Okay. I think her phone's not working, actually.
Oh, she's been very quiet.
Are you there, Judy?
No, I guess she had to get off.
Well, she's got that dang Skype phone. It works about half the time.
Oh.
I can hear you. You can't hear me.
I try to
call. Oh, what a shame. Well, tell us about Blackwater Sound.
Blackwater Sound is one of the bigger sounds, first sound in the Florida Keys. And there's a lot going on in Blackwater. If you come into Blackwater Sound through Dusenberry Cut, which is a real neat little channel there, mangrove lined, on your right shoreline, you'll see some buildings in the distance, and that's where you'll have several restaurants you can go to, several bars. It's a very active place. The Caribbean Club is there, which is where they filmed the movie Key Largo years ago, and it's a local hangout, but it's still a lot of Keys color in there. Problem is, though, with the trawler, you're going to have to anchor offshore a bit in the chart of deeper water and take your dinghy into these spots.
Uh-huh.
It's well worth going to. And as you get towards the north part of Blackwater Sound, you're approaching Gilbert's, which is right at the Jewfish Creek Bridge. That's one of the few left Keys-type bars and facilities that we have in the Keys. A lot of them have been wiped out for condos, but Gilbert's is old-school Florida, welcomes cruisers, good place to anchor there. It's kind of not a really updated marina, but it's Keysy. That's the way the Keys used to be, and it's the way it still is here. They have a great tiki bar on Sunday. And if you go up there, too, there's more mangrove channels you can explore with your dinghy. So there's a lot of exploring to be done with dinghies in the area.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I kind of like
you
said at the beginning.
Are you talking about Gilbert? Okay. I didn't know. Is he talking about Gilbert's? I just got back on.
Oh, hi,
yeah,
Judy. I'm glad you're back on. We're just doing a little bit about Gilbert's.
Uh-huh. It's a favorite place, and it's very, very popular on weekends. Sunday is like the biggest day, and great bands, lots of music, lots of dancing. A big party time on Sundays is up there. But they've just gotten a huge paddle wheel boat up there now also, and we'll be doing dinner cruises, and again with dancing and partying on a paddle wheel boat that'll go out into our bayside. So that'll be something different to be done, too, while you're here.
Oh, sure. It sounds like a big party time down there. I wish we were in Marathon in the Keys.
Well, you need to come down. You could do that. Yes. Yeah. Well,
I guess, Judy, we missed you. Do you have any input that you wanted to add on the program?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, I thought you were ignoring me because I couldn't.
No,
I could hear you. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. That's what was happening.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Again,
well,
we have time.
Okay, well, I wanted him to tell you that when we were in Boot Key Marina, 3 or 4 years ago, we met the local pirates. which was just really great fun. There's some real local characters that hang out there at a little bar off of the marina, and you know, innocent characters, but very, very interesting. And there's a group that do reenactments, and they call themselves the Marathon Pirates. And they were just a great group. They're there around a lot. You will. They taught us a pirate song that we use up here in Key Largo now. And, but it's just a fun spot, you know, because you do meet some real characters there.
Sure. In fact, AGLCA just last week had a Gold Looper reunion, and
uh-huh.
we had Captain Bob and Eric come. Eric
oh, okay.
is the pirate, and Captain Bob is his parrot. So that
there
was really
go.
Fun.
It is fun. Yeah, they're just fun people. Yeah. He also talked to you about Shell Key, where the mooring balls are, and that's just, you know, on your way up from Boot Key, but they're free, the mooring balls, and I didn't hear him mention that,
uh-huh.
and it's beautiful, clear water there, so it's a great place to stop. It's usually available. It's rarely packed. I don't know if people don't know about it or don't know the mooring balls are there or what, but I love to stop there. It's a different type of snorkeling. Because you're not oceanside, so you're going to see different things in the water bayside. You're going to see more sponges. You're going to see more starfish. You're going to see some fish, but not the big, dangerous kind of fish you're going to see
uh-huh.
oceanside, you know. And so it's great swimming, too. It's a great spot like that.
So I'm getting a sense from both of you that the inside passage is your favorite over the outside.
We like it. We prefer
oh, definitely.
It. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you go outside, you're really restricted to it where you can come in at. You know, so if you look at
yes.
Active Captain, you'll see there's dozens of places about anywhere you go to anchor. But on the outside, it's not the case.
Uh-huh.
You're there.
You haven't got that many places or opportunities to stop. And here in the Bayside, you can stop just about any place you're at.
He mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned, Sterling, the OV Lounge. OV
no,
is...
No, I didn't.
Okay. And what is that, Sterling? Overview?
Ocean View.
Ocean View. We've called it OV for so long, I'm not sure. And it's, what, 1157 is what the mile marker I have marked here. Something
uh-huh.
like that.
By pilot seat. So you could go
yes.
to pilot seat and you could go to the OV lounge and have a drink.
But it's an outside tiki, and they've been there forever. There were years ago in the 60s that they didn't have a door on their bar and restaurant. Of course, things have changed. It's very
uh-huh.
nice. The outside tiki is very nice and very well maintained. There is a dinghy dock, and they also have a pool that is
oh.
available to any patron. So if you stop and you want to have a drink or you just want to have lunch or whatever you choose to do, you can always jump in for a nice, fresh, refreshing dip if you don't want to always be in salt water. So it is nice.
Fantastic.
That's another little goodie, you know, that happens down there. So
okay.
You know, they have great sliders, too. They have excellent sliders there.
Yeah, they've got good food in general, you know. And I don't know where he went from there. We told you about Pigeon Key and all the birds. That's a wonderful spot. I absolutely adore it, you know.
Oh, and, you know, you should mention, too, at the Lorelei stop, which is highly recommended.
Uh-huh.
Besides the groceries and the food and the bars are available, there's a little restaurant called Whistle Stop, which is about a half a mile north down the highway, which is a local bar, restaurant, and excellent food there. Excellent food.
And very reasonable.
Yes.
It sounds like the Sterlings and Judy like to eat. You're giving us wonderful recommendations on restaurants. You know, it's funny, when Steve and I are cruising, that's one of our favorite activities, too, is just to find nice little restaurants and sit back and relax.
Well, and they're all different. You're going into all these different little towns and new little areas. And so, of course, you do want to check it out. And we do. You know, we have to walk the town. We have to do a little shopping. We have to find a restaurant. Yeah, that's what you do. And that's how you find out what's happening and meet the locals.
Uh-huh. Our experience, too. Well, this
yeah.
has been great, Judy. I'm so sorry if you thought I was ignoring you. And thank you for your input. I appreciate
you know,
it.
I just could hear you, and I realized you guys couldn't hear me at all. That's what it was.
But
yeah.
Well, I think unless anybody has anything else to add, I think we'll close the show. And I thank you again, as usual, Captain Sterling and Judy. You've been great. And anyone else who has questions on the Key Largo to Marathon, this show will be archived on our webpage at www.greatloop.org. It'll also be available on blogtalkradio.com and on iTunes. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you're interested in joining America's Great Loop Cruisers, again, the web address is www.greatloop.org. Captain Sterling and Judy, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.